So I was told that Shana Bet gets to hear a lot about Shalom Bayis, and that's the Mahalich in Netiv Aryeh. I think it's a great idea, because a lot of times I deal with people before they're in Israel and after they're in Israel, and I just thought a great way to bridge that gap is by talking about the kinds of relationships people have before they're in Israel and the kinds of relationships people hope to have afterwards. I realized, you know, someone said to me, I don't know if anyone will come, but you can, you know, maybe give a shiur at 6 o'clock. So I realized that the word girlfriends attracts a lot of people to a shiur. So I thank you all for coming. I should have called it girlfriends and girlfriends, and then we would have gotten twice as many people maybe. But the title of what the difference is between your high school girlfriend and your wife is, I think, a very big issue when it comes to people of a modern Orthodox background, people who've been in co-educational environment for much of their lives and who've had exposure to girls at an age when they were in high school, because a lot of times we just assume that it's like the natural progression. Particularly, and not exclusively, but particularly if you're like in a situation where I was in when I was your age, where I was going out with a girl from the time I was 16 and I ended up marrying her. And when you end up, when you have to shift the type of relationship, especially if you're already in one, it's somewhat of a challenge. And even if you're not in a particular relationship, but you've had experience and you've had relationships, to shift the paradigm and to shift like what you're looking for and what the point is and what the idea is also a very critical thing. I learned this lesson when I was engaged. My wife and I spent the Shabbos in Baltimore. My brother was learning in Yeshiva Sner Yisrael. He learned there for like a dozen years or so, and so we were there in my brother's apartment at a Shabbos meal, and having normal conversation the way I always did with my wife, and with my, at that time, Kala / girlfriend, whatever, the way we always did. And after the meal, my brother pulled me aside, and he said, the way you're talking to her, that can't continue. And I was like, what are you talking about? You know, we're great, you know, we have this great relationship, everything's great. He's like, no, you're talking to her like a high school guy talks to his girlfriend, you're not talking to her the way a husband should talk to a wife. And I had no idea what he meant. I'm like, yeah, he's a Neri Stroll guy. What does he know about girls? You know, like I just assumed he was nuts, and that he just didn't get it. But I later discovered that I didn't get it. Now just one more word of Hakdama. This Shmuz does not assume that high school relationships are necessarily all purely evil. They are, but it doesn't assume that. Meaning, for the sake of the Shmuz, what we're going to assume is that it's just different. It's that it's just a different kind of relationship. And one of the big problems, one of the better arguments against coeducation, I wrote an article a number of years ago for the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society about coeducation, and I was in contact with someone who was funded by the Bush administration to the tune of something like $2 million to research the effects of coeducation. A frum guy, very, very frum guy, very big Talmud Chacham, who happens to be an industrial psychologist and was working on this issue. His name is Rabbi Dr. Fishel Mail, who's, those who know Joel Mail, it's his brother. And he told me that he gave me what he had written up, all of his findings, and one of his findings was that the one of the better arguments against coeducation is that when we learn to interact with the opposite gender at a young age, particularly when we're immature, particularly when we're at a stage in our life where we tend to be somewhat selfish, we never learn how to interact in a more mature way, because that's what we were trained. We were trained and we were taught that this is the way to interact in a high school level, and sometimes it doesn't develop. Meaning, sometimes it's easier to learn things when you have no background, when you have no history, and you're able to learn things anew than to fix what has been taught wrongly. Lamashal, when I teach a lot of chassanim, when it comes to the physical part of a marriage, I'm not going to get into detail right now, but you get the feeling, I certainly get the feeling, that people would be much better off had they not had 22, 23 years of experience watching movies and getting the wrong idea of what it's all supposed to be about. If there was just like a blank slate and they could be taught, now they would still have to be taught, but if it was a blank slate and it could be taught, it would be so much better. So we have a unique challenge, those of us who have come from a background where we had a lot of exposure to girls in high school, we have a unique challenge in understanding how to make this adjustment. So let me just frame it in the following way. In this past week's parasha, Yaakov Avinu gives brachas to all the children. Now, most of the brachas are individual brachas. He gives a bracha to each shevet with their unique characteristics and what they're supposed to do with it, what their destiny is going to be. There are three brachas that he gives to pairs of children instead of to children, to sets, to groups, specifically to pairs of two. What are they? Shimon and Levi. Ephraim and Menashe is last night. In between, it's not really to a pair, but it's clearly a partnership. Yisachar and Zevulun, exactly. So I always thought that maybe you could use that as like a paradigm of how partnerships are supposed to work, how relationships are supposed to work. And the marriage relationship is a relationship that is, it's sort of like any other relationship, but much, much more intense. So all of the midos that you need to have in order to make any relationship work, in order to make your friendships work, in order to make your family relationships work, all of those midos are the same midos you need in order to make a marriage work, but it's much more intense. And therefore, every mistake is magnified. Every success is magnified. It's just much, much more intense. So I thought that we could use that paradigm of what these relationships represent, the Shimon Levi relationship, Yisachar Zvulun, and Ephraim and Menashe, to use as a starting point to understanding this topic. And this is going to be far from exhaustive. I'm not going to get through everything, but just some ideas off the top of my head. Take them or leave them. So Shimon and Levi, Yaakov Avinu doesn't really give them a bracha. He says, Arur Apam, that they should be cursed, their anger should be cursed. They killed out an entire city. They did not ask Yaakov Avinu for advice before doing this. He was not happy about it. And the Rashi in this past week's parasha, Parashas Vayechi, says when he says "Vafitzim be Yisrael," that I'm going to scatter them around the Jewish people. So Rashi writes that one of the things that they're going to be is they're going to be melamdei tinokos be Yisrael. They're going to be teachers of young children in Klal Yisrael. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky points out in what's become a fairly popular vart in Emes Liakov that it's a little bit of a strange choice of profession for people with anger issues. If someone has an anger problem, like, okay, let him teach the young kids. Why would they? You know how infuriating young children can be sometimes when they don't behave. That's where you want to put someone with an anger issue who killed an entire city. That doesn't seem to bode well for the future of those children. So Yaakov Kamenetsky points out that what Yaakov Avinu was, the wisdom of Yaakov Avinu's bracha was the following. Back when the event originally happened, when they killed out the entire city, Yaakov gives it to them over the head. Yaakov Avinu gives them Musar, how could you do this? You painted a target on our backs now. Everyone's going to be after us. And what's their defense? Their defense is four words. Hakizona yasa esachoseinu? Should we let our sister be treated like a zona? Meaning, you're right. We did paint a big fat target on our backs. You're right. People will hate us. You're right about all that. But what were we supposed to do? Our sister was taken. Are we supposed to sit there silently while she's taken? Are we supposed to not react when she's taken? And Yaakov saw something in them. And what he saw was this incredible caring that they had for their sister. The sense of responsibility that they had for her. And he says, someone with that sense of caring, where they're going to put themselves on the line, their own reputation, their own relationship with their father, they put it all on the line because they can't watch her get hurt. And that changed everything. And Yaakov said, you know what? Those are the people that should be Malam Deitanokos. Those are the people that should teach children Torah. One of the key differences between a high school relationship and a marriage is that a high school relationship is typically, and again, I don't want to paint with broad strokes and say every relationship is like this, but typically it's motivated by concern for ourselves, by concern for our own social standing, our own need for company, our own need for support or whatever, our own need for other things, mutter or us or whatever they be. But it's motivated primarily by a concern for ourselves. A marriage, by definition, has to be motivated primarily by a concern for somebody else. It's an entirely different way of thinking about everything. You never think about a problem as, what does this mean for me? Is this going to make my life harder, my life easier? Am I going to be viewed as cooler or less cool? Everything has to be viewed from the perspective of, what's going to be better for her? How's it going to work out better for her? What can I do to give? Ask not what she can do for you, but what you can do for her. That's the most major shift. a lot of times in high school, the girlfriend is it's a hechitimtza. It's the shortest path to being cool. It's the shortest path to social standing. That's clearly very foreign to what a marriage is about. You know, people often feel that they're always doing more than their fair share in any sort of relationship. Certainly in marriages it works this way. People always feel that they're going beyond the 50% mark in terms of contributing what should be contributed. And the proper hadracha going in is that it should be a privilege to contribute more than 50% to the relationship, to the chores and to everything else and to all the nitty-gritty that has to get done. It should be a privilege. See, it's hard to understand what kavod means. But one has to be mechabed a wife. One has to honor a wife. And what that means, just to put it in a very simple mashal, is that someone, I got a complaint from an actual married person who said, you know, my wife always makes me take out the garbage. Why can't she take out the garbage half the time? Why do I have to take out the garbage? And I said to him, how could you ever let your wife take out the garbage? Isn't it beneath her dignity to take out the garbage? How could you be okay with that? I mean, you stop thinking about how much you do. Think about, if I really respect this person, would you let Rav Nevensal take out your garbage? Now, obviously, you're not all going to marry Rav Nevensal, but you have to view your wife with that kind of dignity, with that kind of respect. She's a Bas Melech. She's a Bas Yisrael. How can you let her do something like that? So, and, you know, maybe she'll do it when you're not looking, but if you're around, that's the kind of respect. It's not exactly the way we relate to our high school girlfriends. See, the way guys flirt in high school is they, and this was my mistake, and that my brother was correcting me on, is we make fun of each other. You know, there's like a little give and take. You know, you make fun of them, they make fun of you a little bit, a little less, you make fun of them a little more, and it's, you know, it's all fun. And then they get insulted, and then you get to spend 5 hours consoling them. You know, that's like the cycle of, you know, of relationships in high school. It doesn't really work that way in a real lasting relationship that you want to work. When you are sitting around a Shabbos table and you're married one day, or when you're dating and you're trying to convince a girl who is better than you to want to spend the rest of her life with you, if you're ever making fun of anybody, it should be yourself. Self-effacing is great. You know, you talk about around the Shabbos table with a bunch of people, don't talk about the stupid thing your wife did. Talk about the stupid thing you did and how she's the hero of the story, the heroine of the story that came out so smart and made you look like a fool. The second relationship, also, the loyalties. Notice the loyalty. Shimon and Levi, their loyalty was to Dina, it was not to Yaakov over here. They didn't do what Yaakov wanted. Their loyalty was to Dina. One of the major shifts is in any relationship you have to this point in your life, your parents always come first. Above any other relationship, any friend's relationship, any girlfriend relationship, your parents always come first. Now, a lot of times people have this backwards. They assume that when they're in high school, their girlfriend comes first, and once they get married, then their parents come first. So you have to sort of like flip that around. When you're in high school, and when you're up until you're married, your parents always come first. That's the most important relationship in your life. And then a new relationship becomes the most important relationship in your life, and it's a relationship where you defend her no matter what. Right or wrong, you defend her because that's what she relies on you for. You are there to defend her. Then you have Yisachar Zvulun. Yisachar Zvulun is fantastic in that it's a partnership. And it's not just that Yaakov says that Zvulun will make money and Yisachar... Should I be worried about that? That Zvulun will make money and Yisachar is going to learn Torah. But it's Smach Zvulun B'tzei Yisachar, that everybody's going to be happy. That everyone's going to be happy with their role. See, in a real lasting marriage type of relationship, the sense of the other person's happiness is critical. You have to always make sure that you're happy with your role, she's happy with her role, and that there's an overall sense of joy in the relationship. Like I just alluded to just a few moments ago, a lot of times crises feed a high school relationship. When there's a crisis, that's good for the relationship because you get to work through that crisis. In general, what we don't look for, life in general as you go forward, presents you with enough crises that we don't look for them. We certainly don't create them, and what we try to find is the ability to weather the storm, the ability to keep a smile in difficult times, the ability to be happy even when things aren't going well. And, you know, a lot of times I speak to guys who are dating and they tell me what they're looking for. and they'll give me a list. So first of all, often they'll give me a list of, like, not a physical list, but let's say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, these are the qualities I'm looking for, and I'll often have to just, like, turn it upside down and be like, there you go, that's your list. Everything was backwards on the list that you gave me. You have to have the right priorities. But one thing that's omitted entirely from many people's list is a sense of a need to find somebody who doesn't get rattled so easily. When life throws you a curveball, we'll be able to smile through it. We'll be able to take things in good humor. We'll have a sense of humor about things. And that's critical, because life has a lot of tense moments. And to be able to deal with those tense moments is a huge, huge help. You want someone who smiles all the time. No matter what, you should smile all the time. Because it changes everything. It changes everybody around you. It changes you. You know, they did a study. It's an unbelievable thing. They did a study, I think it was in the University of Michigan, where they had 100 people watch a movie. But they had 50 of the people, all of them were given a pen or a pencil. 50 of them had to clench the pen between their teeth, like this, as they were watching the movie. The other 50 had to hold it in their lips, like this, as they were watching it. The 50 who held it clenched between their teeth, like this, thought the movie was much funnier than the people who were pursing their lips. Why? Why do they think it was funnier? Because when you're clenching between your teeth, you don't realize you're smiling. When you're doing this, you're frowning. So it turns out that it's not so much what we see that makes us smile. It's smiling that makes us see things in a more positive light. And it's not so much that what we see makes us frown. It's when we frown, we actually see things in a more negative light. And then they showed them a sad movie. And the people with the frown were crying their eyes out. And the people with the smiles were like, oh, whatever, it's not so bad. The ability to get through difficult times in life is a smachzvul in b'sei secha. It has to be with a sense of joy. It has to be with a sense of happiness. It's also a sense of respect for the other person's role. And obviously we discussed before, you have to respect her. But you also have to earn her respect. And the way to earn someone's respect is by being somebody who, it's very different. Again, it's very different in high school. In high school, what people often respect is, are you a good hockey player? Are you a good basketball player? It used to be, when I was in high school, it was the jacket, the varsity jacket. Rabbi Kamenetsky, in his infinite wisdom, got rid of the varsity jacket when he started DRS, but that's what it used to be. The girl who could wear the guy's varsity jacket, that was a status symbol. So that's what she wanted. That was cool, that was respectful. With all due respect to those who are good at hockey, it will serve you zero going forward in terms of your ability to excel at relationships. Now, hopefully your experiences with camaraderie and friendships and all that will help, but the actual skill itself will not be that helpful. What will be helpful is getting out of bed in time for minyan in the morning and being someone who's serious about learning. And if you take your own time seriously and you take your avodas Hashem seriously, that's something that a person would want to respect, that a wife would want to respect, that a girl would certainly want to respect. One last thing, because I'm running out of time, I have a million other things, but one last thing. The Menashe and Ephraim relationship. Rav Moshe Feinstein points out that it's about Menashe and Ephraim that Yaakov Avinu says, Lihein, these are mine. Which is so weird, because if any of his grandchildren, he had no take whatsoever, he had no say in how they grew up, it was Menashe and Ephraim. He had no say in Menashe and Ephraim. It was they grew up with Yosef far away from Yaakov. All of his other grandchildren grew up on his lap. So why is it Lihein? Why are those Yaakov's children? So Moshe Feinstein points out in the Drash Moshe that what Yaakov was saying was that when you have children grow up in your own house, of course they're going to do what you do. They're going to act pretty much like you act. That's not a symbol of your greatness in being mechanech them. But when Yosef goes away and has to raise his own children, the fact that he still raises them that way, that's the ultimate sign of Yaakov Avinu's success. That he still raised his children that way. And I think what this points to in a relationship, particularly in a husband-wife relationship, is that there is a sense of responsibility of building on a mesorah. When a person gets married, you are links in a chain, and it is meant, the Gemara, Chazal have an expression that women don't like to quote, Ein Isha Elo Labanim, the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos. A woman is only for kids. So women say how, you know, people say sometimes how horrible to say that. She has no value in herself, it's only for kids. That's not what it means. Of course she has value. Camaraderie and friendship and all that, it's all valuable. But Ein Isha Elo Labanim means when a person gets married, they should realize that you're getting married to continue a Mesorah. To continue a Mesorah that you received from your parents, from your Rebbeim, from your grandparents. And that's a responsibility you have. You don't have that in a high school relationship. There's no responsibility toward anything. It's just, you know, whatever makes you feel good at the time. Yeah, someone, actually an alumnus of Nativ Aryeh, came to me recently and said, I'm not sure, Rebbe, if I'm ready to start dating. I feel like I am because a lot of my friends are starting to date and, like, I really want to, you know, think about it. So I said to him, can you picture yourself as a father? And he was like, whoa, back up. I just said dating. What are you talking about, a father? What does that have to do with anything? I like girls, all right? It has nothing to do with a father. But that's the difference. If you like girls, you find yourself a girlfriend in high school. If you want to get married, you have to shift the paradigm. Now, is there a heter for birth control? Different? You'll deal with that when you get there. And yes, there are different approaches that deal with that issue. But fundamentally, what are we looking to do? We're looking to build a house. We're looking to build a family. You should all be zocha to use all of the wisdom that your parents taught you, that your rebbeim continue, that your parents and rebbeim have taught you and continue to teach you, and to find the right relationships in your life and to be successful in all of them. Thank you very much.